Thanks, Karen. If you don't mind, I'd like to stay away from a podium. It's just my university setting, and I'd like to be out in the audience. Don't worry, I'm not going to come back and see if you're doing any rap theory or anything like that. But just, this is an interesting slide. I should tell you, one of my jobs for 10 and a half years, I was the general manager of a public transportation authority. I was the American officer, the general manager of the Peace Bridge Authority. Anybody familiar with Buffalo, New York knows that that bridge crosses at Buffalo, between Buffalo, New York, and Fort Erie, Ontario, and then it works in the Niagara River. So I have a perspective not only being a professional engineer involved in delivering transportation, but I also worked on the owner's side where I had to provide transportation. And I've had an interesting perspective to look at, and that's what Karen and I are going to talk to you about today, kind of this how can health, and I know I have to be honest, I've never really thought about how health professionals and transportation officials really work together. But recently, I was reading a book. It's called A Splendid Exchange, and the book is about the history of trade. It's an outstanding book, but in it, there's a quote that the author put, William Bernstein, puts in there by Adam Smith in The Wealth of Nations from 1776. And the quote goes like this, and I'm paraphrasing. The propensity for human beings to truck, barter, and trade is human nature, and nothing more need be said about it. So we've been transporting, we've been connecting, whether it's walking, camels, boats, cars, trucks, planes, or sending it over the wireless transmission, we have been transporting and communicating with each other for a long, long time. So Karen did some work for me when I was involved in the Trade Corridor Association, and she did some work for a group here in Washington. She was a sub-consultant to them, and I first met her, and I said, why do we have a public health official working on our project? And from that, I said, because I know what they're going to do. They beat me up at the Peace Bridge. They accused me of all the asthma in the city of Buffalo. They accused me of all the congestion and all of the issues going on, and I said, I got to stay away from these folks. You know, maybe I need to stay away. But then I started to think about it. We've worked together for a long time. Engineers have worked with health professionals for a long time. Clearly in the area of water treatment, wastewater treatment, this very building that we're in, all these building systems are dealing with, and not in this building, of course, but things like asbestos, lead paint, mold, mildew, all of those good things, bad things, I should say. So I said, what about a transportation? When I got hired at the Peace Bridge is one of the largest crossings in the world, $150 million a day in merchandise trade crosses it. And when the board hired me, they never talked to me much about the structure itself. They talked to me about the connections, the value of the economy, the cultural exchanges between Americans and Canadians, everything that takes place there. And then they said, oh, and by the way, you got to take care of the bridge because that's what makes all of this happen. That's what makes all of this happen. I'm also very much involved in, if we can switch to the next slide, please. I'm also, on to the next one, I don't know, okay. What's our look at transportation? Focus on the interstate, this applies in a lot of other ways. Remember, the interstate was built as a defense highway. President Eisenhower saw the Autobahn, and that's basically the model for not really thinking about connecting us, about mobility, but about moving material and manpower during times of emergencies. And it was pretty much viewed as a utility, the whole concept of transportation, just A to B. That's basically what it was. And even DOT officials never really thought of transportation and its role in the economy. If you think about it in that regard. But what's happening in transportation right now, funding is going down. It's going down big time. And all of you know that the big funding, at least at the federal level, comes from the gas tax. What's happening there? Receipts are falling off dramatically. Why are they falling off? We're going to cars that have better fuel economy. We're going to hybrids. And so, you know, with 160 million vehicles on the road, as that starts to drop, our funding source starts to drop as well. So we're actively always looking at how might we fund transportation in all of its aspects. So, you know, the safety loop, we always use acronyms in government and in transportation. T21, safety loop, who knows what the next one's going to be. But quite frankly, here's where we stand right now. In the funding picture for transportation, it's really strained right now. It's strained big time at the federal level. Plus, there's a little bit of political infighting as to how we're going to do it. So a lot of what's been taking place are public-private partnerships. Well, a lot of those of you who live in this area, Dulles Toll Road is a good example of the P3, the Pocahontas Parkway, a lot of conversion of HOV to HOT lanes. So there's a lot of activity, and the whole issue, though, is quality of life. It's about mobility. How can we better connect? And what role is transportation going to play in that whole social fabric? So I'm going to stop and come back in a little bit. I want to do some stage setting. Our whole point to you today is how we can better work together and speak the same language, and Karen's going to take a lot of that. Sure.
So this slide might look kind of familiar to you. If you remember the biopsychosocial approach that integrates the psychological, the sociological, and the biological. The thing that we want to get across is that transportation already has a network in place to evaluate all of those components of a transportation infrastructure. A facility, which is a bridge, a highway, what have you, is very similar to how transportation looks at that facility. Integrating those components is the same way you look at a human, taking into like a multifaceted approach. You'll see this is referred to as the same return on investment. It was developed by HDI, which is a large engineering and construction firm. It's integrated within the transportation infrastructure to take into account the environmental, the economic, the social aspects of a new project. So you can see by all the different components, and this is just the graphical representation, there are many more. Go to the next slide. You'll see that the benefits of the the benefits right in the middle to the sustainability of those three components of the sustained return on investment have to do with shifting that curve from a minimum of 20% to over 35% in the long term of any project. So the next thing you want to do is how do you realize how closely linked transportation really is with public health? And if you notice, one of the other network components within transportation is contact-sensitive solutions. So we've already gone over sustained return on investment. We have contact-sensitive solutions. And if you compare that to public health, we just highlighted specific words. It's not the same language, it's not the same culture, but the fundamental principles are very similar. And we just want to bring that to your attention. We have interdisciplinary stakeholders, community, environment, safety, and all of those are important to public health. Those are all the same components important in transportation too. So, where does this all fit? The big thing has been in health impact assessments and implementing those in every single transportation infrastructure project. So what we need to remember, just like when we do a community assessment of a population, we have to understand that in transportation, one size does not fit all. You cannot apply one specific measure to a particular project. You have to borrow from different models, different tools to get a comprehensive perspective of that transportation infrastructure project. And what we want to do is maintain and use what's within the transportation network, like the sustained return on investment, the contact-sensitive solution, and just kind of expand that in terms of our impact assessment. Use what's already within the system to get buy-in from transportation so they understand what you're talking about. One of the things is that when you talk to, when a lot of transportation people hear health impact assessment, they automatically freak out. I don't understand that. They talk a different language. But if you relate it to what they already know, then they'll get it. They'll increase collaboration, partnerships. And it's a lot easier to work with the system than trying to integrate a brand new concept. So, why are we giving you all this? What we the section of community health planning and policy development in APHA, we did a member survey and wanted to know what are important topic areas that the membership was interested in creating a group on and really investigating and doing something worthwhile, a project, evaluation project, community project. Well, one of the keys was transportation. So what we found when we came together as a group is that APHA has their own transportation group. But what's missing in the service is that we're not focusing on infrastructure folks, the engineers, the design build firms that actually design, plan, and build the infrastructure. Those are the folks that need to understand the importance of health impact. So our group, actually, 3/4 of our membership in the Transportation Public Health Plan, which is the CW work group, are non-APHA people. So, and the one thing that we do is we, from a transdisciplinary approach, we come together, we respect each other's opinions, we might not always like them, we might have our own problems, but in that way, when we come together, it's where we have the most innovation, we solve problems, and you'll notice that we have a diverse array of folks. Tony Deluccia is our chair, vice chair, and Dr. Mayer is from Parsons, Bob Felf is from Michigan DOT, Neil Gray, International Bridge Tunnel and Turnpike Association. We have 5 new members as of this week, and we're growing. So the transportation work group has metamorphosized into the transportation public health link. And what we're based on is the synergy between the socio-political, economic, and environmental components of a project, of a people. And what we want to do is help transportation infrastructure folks understand the metrics, provide them with strategic performance measures to help them evaluate their projects. We function as a resource for those folks. And also, we're key to maintaining a sense of flexibility and perspective. We don't want to be rigid and impose our opinions on transportation. We're here for partnership, for collaboration. And when you start brainstorming, it's like public health and transportation wants to open to understanding the culture, the background, the professional expertise. It's like you get it. You understand how to link the two together. So our main objective is communication, interpersonal communications, really, like I said earlier, being open to different perspectives, merging ideas, forming strong partnerships within the community to overall affect the health and policy within a community. And one of the things, we have a project going on right now. We have been really focused on social networking, such as social media. We're on LinkedIn, we're on Facebook, we're really trying to get that message out, really focusing on transportation infrastructure. We are talking about developing a website. We're also very active. We have presentation. There are handouts in the back of the room from the Michigan Public Health Association. We have a poster presentation. And finding a common language between transportation and public health. And we also will be submitting an abstract about including public health professionals on the team, the planning and development team. And also, with that said, it goes the other way. If public health is interested in developing health impact policy legislation within a state, we actually had a conversation, Dr. Mayer and I, and Dr. Deluccia were on a call, and speaking to the policy person and public health person, they were very insistent that every single transportation infrastructure project had to have a health impact assessment. And I'm like, what's accepted in public health, but you're not taking into consideration what's already in the system for transportation, which is sustained return on investment, context-sensitive solutions. And in your policy development, do you actually have policy or transportation folks at the table? And the person on the call said, no, we didn't think of that. So, well, don't you think it's kind of common sense to have those folks at the table if you're mandating that they do this for you? And isn't that what public health is all about? It's partnerships and collaboration. But right now you're trying to force transportation to do what you want them to do without having them at the table? That doesn't seem logical. So in our pilot survey, we wanted to know and really justify, is our perspective the correct perspective? Is this a need out in the community? So what we did is a large design, build, and construction engineering firm and a regional safety transportation group gave them a survey, just goofing around, just put a couple of questions and had them fill it out. And overall, we asked the folks what they think public health is, what the lead is of transportation. They just think it's well-being and this Pollyanna view of the world and transportation. And public health is just there to help the people. They don't get the link at all. So that is the group we really need to get to. And what's interesting, I loved when I gave the first presentation to the infrastructure folks at this large design, build, and engineering firm. The road and highway representative, he looked at me with like a glowing headlight and said, wow, we never thought about the people when we build or design a road. And I said, really? Okay. So, this little survey that was just kind of used to focus our transportation public health link in CHPPD has just exploded. We are now partnered with Paris Interactive, and we are doing a qualitative research project getting about 50 transportation folks. And when I say transportation folks, I mean the folks involved with the Transportation Research Board, the DLT, the planners, those that are, you would assume are very far removed from public health. But what we're trying to get them to see is that even though they say they're transportation people, they're really public health people. But we got to get them to see that on their own. We can't tell them that. So once we get these surveys, we will then take that information and create a national quantitative measure. And from that, we will be writing it up in manuscript, hopefully using that data to influence policy. And
I'll wrap up. I just want to say one of the things about all of you are used to, you are familiar with branding, and all of these brands conjure up something in your mind, to be sure, right? But if you think about transportation, do we have a consistent image? Do we sort of start to think about, well, what type of bicycle? Who should be riding bicycles and walking more? Because it improves our health, to be sure. How many of you are commuters? How many of you especially my friends from Georgia, Atlanta, one of my favorite places to not have to commute. I live in Buffalo, New York. There's no traffic jams in Buffalo, New York. It's a wonderful place. If you ever want to come there, you can drive there. I have a 44-mile drive each way to the university, and I'm there in 50 minutes. No traffic whatsoever. Of course, the economy is not as good as it could be, but. So how many of you are a little frustrated by that? How many think it affects your quality of life, just sitting in traffic at aggravation? Here's a little story. Some scientists study ants. I read this when I was going to give a finance summit on transportation. Ants come out of an anthill and they follow well-established paths. They don't just wander around. They're like us. They follow pathways. But what they found out is the pathways were getting congested. And ants were getting aggressive. They were fighting each other. They couldn't give the finger because they got their six legs or whatever, so they gave somebody a leg, I guess, or whatever. But they fought, and they found this very aggressive behavior because their pathways were getting problem. We're getting problem. And by the way, so we're always, and I want to make it clear, too, good transportation officials are not opposed to multimodal use of facilities. Walking, riding bikes, getting on the transit, getting on the train, airplane, whatever it might be. But the whole issue of seamlessness, how we're going to pay for it, and making sure that the concept that comes out to the public and all of our stakeholders and say, look, this is really a public health issue. It's about the time you spend socializing, the time you spend with your family, your quality of life. It's not just sitting in a car in San Jose or in Chicago, Atlanta, Houston, wherever, or a 2 or 3 hour commute every day. Because that's not what it's meant for.
So the main point again on this slide is just really bringing transportation and public folks to the table together to come up with innovative solutions to get public buy-in. So if the public hears that transportation is a public health service, don't you think they want to pay for it? Mm-hmm. They're more apt to pay for it than they would want to pay for their utility bill. Sure. I don't want to pay for the utility bills. So again, the other thing that we really want to drive home to you is this is a transdisciplinary approach. It's bringing the best of both worlds, public health and transportation together, to solve the problem of demand and a growing and aging population. Again, the one thing about transportation, and as Dr. Mayer had mentioned earlier, it's based on a military perspective of mobility and security. The USDOT is very cognizant that they need to change. They know it. They're going to a business model. They see y'all as customers. They understand the stress, how it affects your quality of life when you're stuck in traffic or you can't get to the supermarket or your relatives are far away. And they really want to make the transportation folks who are building the infrastructure accountable. So they said, okay, your outcome measures, show us the data. We want you to do more with less. And I hear that and I say, public health medicine has always had to do more with less. And that's a no-brainer. We can help you out. And so the concept of branding transportation as public health is really getting transportation folks to understand that they are, in fact, public health. And they need to figure that out on their own, but with bringing the two disciplines together and really partnering and helping them understand, and they helping us understand and educating one another, that's where the solutions and the best projects are born. And so thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to give you a different perspective.